Welcome to the Sermon Podcast, the First Christian Church of St. Paul, located in Roseville, Minnesota. We are a congregation of Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, a congregation that is united in Christ for the sake of the world. Join us for worship in person or via our live stream, Sundays at 11 a.m. You can learn more about us by going to fccstpaul.org. Here is this week's sermon. Gospel reading from today comes from the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them, saying, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We say that every Easter, but do we believe it? Do we believe that Christ, who died on the cross in the most excruciating way possible, was able to defeat death? Do we believe that Christ rose from the dead, not metaphorically, but physically? It's too fantastical to believe for many of us. And it seems rather foolish. And maybe that's why some people resort to seeing the resurrection as more of a metaphor. That maybe it was that the disciples came to a true understanding of Jesus' teaching. But the scripture tells us a different story. It tells a story of someone who was deader than a doornail coming back to life. Now, instead of trying to prove the resurrection, because that's impossible, let's look at this text from the standpoint of the first two evangelists, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They are heading to that tomb early Sunday morning, and they are not expecting anything more than knowing that Jesus was in the tomb. They saw Jesus die. They saw Jesus being placed in the tomb, and they saw that stone rolled into the doorway. They did not expect anything else. In our own lives, sometimes it is hard to expect to see God acting in our world. We may even wonder at times if God is even around. We have come in the past to expect that the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain would stand. We expected that apartheid in South Africa or Jim Crow here in the United States would remain in place. We expect mass shootings to continue. We expect people to be trapped in addictions and mental illness and not find healing. We expect the powers of sin and death and the devil to remain in power because we've seen how powerful evil can be in our world. We've seen how good people can become silent in the face of evil, or even worse, become corrupted into the ways of the world. We know that the powers are strong. So it is not surprising that the two Marys come to this tomb that morning expecting to see nothing else than a dead Jesus. This is the way of the world. The theologian John Mark Hicks says that the day before today, Saturday, Holy Saturday, is a day and a feeling that we must feel before we can feel the joy of Easter. So all of those things that I've just talked about before, we shouldn't just ignore them because they are real. They hurt. They hurt not just our physical bodies, but our souls. As he says, Saturday is a lonely day. Death has won. Hope is lost. Jesus lies in a tomb. His male disciples are afraid, hiding, and deeply depressed. Everything in which they had invested for the past 3 years seems pointless now. They are leaderless, hopeless, and aimless. And he continues by saying, Holy Saturday is a day we sit by the grave. It is a day to feel the gloom of the grave and face the reality of death itself. It is a day to weep, to fast, and to mourn. We as disciples don't, as always, think a lot about what happens on that Saturday. But Christian tradition and scripture tends to allude that something did happen. The Apostles' Creed says that Christ descended either to hell or to the dead, depending on your interpretation. And what we learned is that unbeknownst to the Marys, unbeknownst to the disciples, the other disciples, Jesus was busy with the work of salvation. What was happening was that salvation was reaching into every nook and cranny of the known existence. Jesus was busy defeating death by entering into death. J. Warren Smith, who is a professor of historical theology at Duke Divinity School, has said that it's what it means for Christ to take upon himself the punishment of sin, which is death. If Christ really dies, then it means that he journeys all the way to the place of the dead. So when the earth shakes that morning, when the tomb is rolled away, this is truly the final defeat of death. The powers that seemed invincible are now rendered powerless. The guards that represented the mighty power of the state were so scared by this event that they couldn't move. A messenger tells the women that Jesus is not here. And this has to be some of the most joyous news at times to hear, but also one of the most head-scratching. They have to be excited to know that Jesus probably isn't in that tomb, but they are also wondering, how in the world could this be? How in the world does this happen? As I said earlier, they expected to see Jesus remain in the tomb because people don't rise from the dead. The only thing that they think that they have is, what is the teachings? But the angel has said, Jesus isn't here. Jesus is not found in a place of death because Jesus is no longer dead. The scripture tells us that they left with both fear and with joy, ready to tell the disciples. And in the midst of their journeying on the way, they run into the risen Savior. They run into Jesus. And they are called to tell the good news that Jesus is alive as they run into Jesus. Jesus tells them to tell the others that he is alive. On this Easter morning, we believe that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. We believe Christ is risen, that the powers of sin and death, be it physical death, or the powers of oppression or violence or fear, have ultimately lost. They just don't know it yet. It's not just Jesus' teachings or ideas that live on, but it is the Son of God that lives on, freeing us from sin and opening us up to new life. The Anglican pastor Esau Macaulay, who some of you, that name might sound familiar because he was the author of the book Reading While Black, which many of us read a few years ago. He wrote something actually yesterday in the New York Times. And he has said that he has not always enjoyed Easter. He talks about living in this essay in a world that was filled with drug dealers that wreaked havoc in his neighborhood, and especially in his own family with the life of his father, and how that really affected his hometown of Huntsville, Alabama. He dealt with poverty, he dealt with racism, and he had really no time for the inspirational rhetoric, even of the teachers in his school. He had learned to be comfortable with despair. He had seen enough of the bad side to life to believe that that was the constant in life, despair, not hope. Which is why he actually has, in some ways, a soft spot for Judas. Judas, of course, is a betrayer, and that's where most of us see him. And we don't necessarily have a great view of him, but Macaulay saw him differently. He wondered, what if he grew up on the rough side of town, the rough side of Judea? What if he is used to seeing the Romans bitterly oppress his people? After a while, you get kind of used to despair. And then someone like Jesus comes along. And that should inspire hope, but it can also make you scared. He says, for someone like Judas, Jesus offered the dangerous kind of hope that might have challenged him to relinquish his hostilities and reawaken the thing he had long since given up, the belief in the possibility that things might be different. He continues by saying that could explain why he agreed to betray Jesus. Betrayal was his chance to return to the safety and dependability of hopelessness. He concludes by saying how the hope of Christ, the Easter hope, is indestructible. It is something that can lift anyone out of despair. It says, Easter then is not a metaphor for new beginnings. It is about encountering the person who, despite every disappointment we experience with ourselves and with the world, gives us a reason to carry on. And that is what the resurrection is all about. Hope. Remember, I said earlier, we believed that things like the Iron Curtain or apartheid or Jim Crow were permanent. They weren't going away. Those things are gone. Yes, sin still remains. I'm not trying to say that there are no problems anymore. But even then, there is still hope. Resurrection means hope. Resurrection means death does not win. Easter morning starts in a Saturday world. That was the world that the two Marys encountered. And we cannot ignore that world. We cannot ignore the oppression, the injustice, because that is the world that Christ came into. But we also must know of the Sunday morning, when we realize that Christ is alive, that the powers of death are ultimately defeated, and we are excited, we are joyous to tell the good news that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen. We hope this week's sermon was nourishment for your soul. If you would like to listen to past sermons, watch past worship services, leave a prayer request, or get directions to our worship location, please visit our website at fccstpaul.org. May God be with you on your daily journey.